return you now to your regularly scheduled program.
Hey everybody, this is Josh Martin.
And I'm Marty Hite.
Hey, how you doing?
Welcome to the Tattoos and Jesus Podcast.
I am very happy to be here!
Here at TNJ, we seek to blend the righteous with the ridiculous.
Please explain.
We discuss coffee, counseling, Christianity, and whatever else crosses our mind.
We hope you enjoy.
Okay, let's go.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of TNJ, the old TNJ show. Here with Joshua Martin. This is Marty Hite, your co-host. How you feeling today?
I feel better.
You feel better?
I feel great.
Listen, we're what? Oh, 3 days away from fantasy draft?
Are you...
4 days?
Are you prepped?
Hey, listen, you would be proud of me. 2 nights ago...
3 days? We're like...
Sunday. Sunday's the draft, right?
Yeah, that's like...
What's today, Tuesday?
5 days away.
All right, whatever. This weekend.
Okay.
So, I think it was Monday night. Today, Tuesday? It was Sunday or Monday. I Googled top fantasy players this year. So...
You know, it gives you the list when we draft anyway, right?
Yeah, but to be honest with you, I didn't even really read them. I just saw that there's some really good lists out there by some names that look really valid.
Okay.
And I just said, okay, I'll look at these the day of.
All right.
And so that's Friday, Sunday night, right?
Sunday at 4 is when it starts.
Yep. All right. I would say it's 50-50 whether I can be there.
It's fair.
Because my wife's going out of town, so it depends what time she's getting home. And I'm not going to tell her to accommodate that.
That makes sense.
So, but she's going to see a friend. So
Probably online.
But I've got some good names in my head. T. Higgins. I think he's good.
Oh, I thought you meant like fantasy names. Okay.
No. We don't have time to go in this. No. I contemplated changing my fantasy name. But then I'm just going to leave it the same. Because I'm not clever. And I've determined I'm not clever enough to come up with a cute one. And I've Googled like great fantasy names. But I'm thinking, everybody knows the most popular Googled ones. And I don't want to be that guy.
I mean, that's fair.
And that's so, a fair point. And I thought about, like, just throwing shade at you in the name or something. But I'm like, I don't really know the rest of the guys that well.
You know most of them.
Yeah.
No, that's not true. You know half of them.
Who won last year, Grayson?
Or Zane.
Zane? What was the name of his? What's the name of his? I couldn't.
His was like Hungry Dogs Run Faster or something.
Like, I feel like I should just rename it as Hungry Dogs Run Faster.
Go for it and see what happens.
Throw shade at him. And then watch me finish dead last and have to like yodel on the corner of Spartanburg in a skirt or something.
He did good because he didn't make, I don't think he made one trade.
Not a single one. Listen, so I don't know if you can tell, but I'm a little nasally. I'm getting over a sickness. You were sick last weekend.
Yeah, it was rough.
Did you sound like this at any point? I might bark like a dog here in a minute.
Yeah. I mean, I had everything that you had. But I had some aches thrown in
there. I think you had COVID. I didn't.
I don't know. It wasn't bad.
I tested negative.
I think I had whatever you had, so.
I don't.
But.
So, anyway.
What was our favorite pumpkin spice coffee from last year?
What was our favorite?
Do you have a list?
Yeah. Why do you ask?
Because Sarah was asking about pumpkin spice stuff this weekend, and I was like, I can't remember what we chose last year.
Right.
I think it was Starbucks.
So, listen, while I say that, today my mother-in-law sent me, have you seen where there's a really, like, high-end coffee made from cat poop?
No.
So, she sent me it on text, and she goes, you should make this and get Josh to review it on the podcast and then tell him it's cat poop coffee. I thought that was good.
Is it expensive?
All right. I don't know. I'll have to look in a minute. Starbucks pumpkin spice, we gave it 7.32. Because we also tried QT PSL, gave it a 5.0. Peanuts brand, like the TV show or whatever, Charlie Brown. Pumpkin Spice was a 5.6. What was the year before? 2021 coffee
We did
reviews?
Fresh Market one.
There's the PSL. So we gave a 6.6 to the original from Starbucks. So the 6.7 that we did last year was bought Starbucks Pumpkin Spice coffee grounds.
Yeah.
But, like, the OG PSL, like, the one that really tastes like a dessert, we got good. We also, Dunkin' Donuts got good, and Green Mountain was pretty good. But the one that I got today, what's this stuff called? Poop Coffee. It's Kopi Luwak. Kopi Luwak. I don't know. If it's probably not how you pronounce it. Otherwise known as Cat Poop Coffee. So I'm not going to read this whole thing. But listen, I had an experience this past weekend that it prompts a thought that I had that I thought we could explore today.
It wasn't the fact that you were in beautiful Hilton Head, you know, that you were pretty much.
It involves Hilton Head. So it also involves me being country. Sick. Okay. It involves me being sick.
So you were hallucinating?
So I was hallucinating. No. All right. So there's a lot here. So you interrupt me if I know I can get wordy with my stories. So interrupt me if I'm confusing or vague, and I'll try to clarify this. But there's a couple things that happened, and I'll tell you the short of it is this. It felt like God was present and working in a weird way, and I'm not used to feeling that way.
Okay.
So last Thursday after work, I was going down to Hilton Head because all day Friday I was supposed to be touring this drug and alcohol facility and then going to this all day training and then coming home Friday night. Right. And so the organizer of the event put me up in this hotel room so that I could come look at the facility. Well, I come into the office Thursday morning and I was starting to get a little drainage, right? That nasal drip, I think is the term. Because Kaylee even noticed it. She's like, Marty, are you sick? And I hadn't even realized it. Like, I didn't think about it, but I started sneezing a little bit. So anyway, and so by Thursday afternoon when I'm leaving, I'm like, I'm definitely getting a cold. Like, you know, it's explicitly obvious. And so so I'm driving down the Hilton Head. And so I didn't get out of here till like 5:45. So I get down there. It's like 9:30 by the time I get to Hilton Head. So by the time I'm there, I'm full blown onset of a cold. Right. And that's annoying. Like, I hate being sick. Like, it's the quintessential man flu.
Okay.
I despise being sick. But it felt like a blessing to me.
Okay.
And that seems weird. It seems like a blessing. Because the reality is this. I hate going places by myself.
I feel that.
Right? Okay. Like, I don't like having to spend. I don't like it when my family's away and I'm at home by myself. I don't like it when I have to go travel by myself and I don't have anybody. Like, those are the moments that, like, just dark thoughts come in. Right? Like, I'm not trying to, like...
Are you okay over there?
Yeah, I'm not trying to off myself or anything.
Okay.
But it's like, those are the moments where I feel like the devil's like, hey, you know, nobody's watching tonight. Like, what's that show you wouldn't normally watch, but, like, ain't nobody's watching, so, you know, splurge a little bit. Right? Or what's that thought? What's that thing? What's that, you know... And so it's like, that's when, like, it just becomes like, you know, some level, I wouldn't even call it severe, but like spiritual warfare. And so anytime that I'm going to be traveling or alone for long periods of time, I have people that I reach out to and just say, hey, right? Like this past week, it was my pastor. I was like, hey, you know, I'm going to be gone for a couple days. Like that kind of stuff haunts me. Like, I feel like that's when the devil wants to attack. And so I was like, he's like, I'll check in on you. I was like, appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Right. And so, like, I know he's going to check in on me, and I have to be like, no, I'm feeling depressed, or I'm feeling anxious, or I'm, you know, or I'm just having a hard time, or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I prepare, right? So, like, I've been reading the book of Luke at your challenge, and so I'm taking my Bible, and I'm like, you know what? This is a good time. You can go sit in the lobby, drink a cup of coffee, read a couple chapters, like, proactively plan the evening. So then I get sick, and this is where I'm like, this was the grace of God.
And here comes all the drugs.
Because I started snorting cocaine.
Yeah.
No, I was exhausted and I didn't feel good. And so instantly there was a level of relief because I was like, you know what, Marty? You can't even have a bad night because you feel like crap. You're going to go to the hotel. You're going to check in and you're going to go to sleep. And you're going to wake up the next morning and it's go time. Take a shower, eat breakfast, tour the facility, go to the training and head home. Right? And so even though I hate being sick, I couldn't help but appreciate it. Because it felt like grace in that moment. Does that make sense in a weird kind of way? Like, and the fact that I was getting sick when I had like 4 days to get better before I had to sit and see patients again.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though it sucked, I was like, I'm really appreciative for this right now. But that's not even the best part. That's just kind of the snapshot of it.
Okay.
Listen to this. So I'm heading down to Hilton Head. Downloaded a book on Audible that was only 3 hours long. So I was like, you know what? I can knock this whole book out, driving there and driving back. So I know a lot of stuff about Hitler now. Listen to a book on Hitler.
What's the book called?
The Rise and Fall of Adolf Hitler.
Okay.
So.
Interesting.
I get down to Hilton Head. It's 9:30 at night. I pull into the hotel. It's a Hilton. Very nice. Park. Jump out. Open the back door. Did not bring my bag.
So you didn't have your suitcase.
I had absolutely nothing but the clothes on my back.
Wow.
So I have got this grand, like, I'm not feeling good. I'm going to get some medicine. I'm going to go get everything situated. And I'm going to watch a little TV and go to sleep. And I open my truck, and my suitcase is at home.
So is this, it was that God? Did God take your suitcase?
No, God didn't take my suitcase. What took my suitcase is I had to take my son to the orthodontist Thursday morning, and so it just threw off my routine, and I left it laying next to the bed. So it's 9:30, because first thing in my head was like, well, I got to go home and get it. And I was like, no, Marty, that is not an option.
Yeah,
you're 4 hours from home.
Yeah, it's just not any point.
And so, like, I wasn't sick enough, and I wasn't tired enough at that point to be in a bad mood. I thought it was really funny. So I'm, like, laughing. And I'm like, it's a good thing that I only forgot it for a one-night stay.
Yeah.
Like, I can bridge one night. If I was down here for a week,
yeah, that'd been
somebody's overnighting that bad boy.
Yeah.
Oh, I FaceTime Ashley, and I was just like, she's like, hey, what's up? And I said, is my duffel bag next to the bed? And I see her eyes cut over and just get big. Like, I was like, dang it, man. And so I was like, I can wear these clothes tomorrow. I don't like this shirt. Had a little bit of food on it, so I was like, I don't necessarily. And it was a T-shirt.
Struggling right now,
right? I was like, man, I don't. I was like, let me see if there's a Walmart.
Buy a T-shirt.
Let me see if there's a Walmart. And so this is where it gets to the God moment, right? Even though I felt like being sick was in some weird way the grace of God, like this is where it gets to the God moment. And so I was like, there's a Walmart 3 miles away. They're open till 11 p.m. I got an hour and a half. I was like, all right, I go in. It's funny. I walk up to the guy, check in, and Hilton's top notch. And I walk up, and he's like, are you here to check in? And I said, yeah. And the dude, I'm pretty sure, said, oh, are you Mr. Height? I guess I was the only one left to check in. It's like he just knew. He's like, what's your name? I was like, my name's Marty. Goes, oh, Mr. Height. He said, we have your key right here. I'm like, this is fancy. It was, and he goes, if it would be easier to unload, you can pull around to the side of the elevator. I said, that won't be necessary, sir.
Yeah. I'm good.
Because this is the unload. This right here, what you're looking at.
There's no telling what he was thinking was going down.
No. So I go, you know, check into the hotel room, head over to Walmart. So this is where, it's a long story short, kind of long story long. Here's where I felt like, man, like, all right, so this is what felt like what I see people put on Facebook, a God wink. You know, those moments, and here's, I'll be honest with you. When I see people put on Facebook or any other social media, had a little God wink today, my first thought is that's stupid. Like, that is the cheesiest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Then I had a moment, and I was like, whoa, whoa, wait a minute. And this is it.
All right.
Are you ready?
So this is the build-up.
This is
everything that you just
which
said
sucks
is a build-up to this moment.
I guarantee you it's going to be anticlimactic.
Okay. Well, it better be good. Like, it better be.
But two things happened.
Like, the woman from your Pigeon Forge story who was walking outside better, like, show up or something.
No. It's like the woman at the... This man walked up and said, sin no more. No. So two things. First of all, a little TMI. So I go to Walmart last week. Because I needed undershirts, underwear, and socks.
So this is a Hilton.
No, head. This is a week ago.
So this last, is not
this
Hilton
is before
head.
Hilton Head.
This is before Hilton Head.
I had went to Walmart to get underwear, socks, and T-shirts.
Okay.
And undershirts, and ended up I was like, yeah, I'm just gonna get socks today. I walked in there with the intention of getting all three. I said, you know what? I'm just gonna get socks today. So I grabbed a pack of socks and left. So here's the thing. So like this isn't really a God wink. I don't know if it's just. It kind of is, because you know what I needed that night at Hilton Head? Undershirts and underwear. So part of me is like, how perfect. I was already planning on getting both of these. Because if I'd bought both earlier in the week and then had to buy them again, I'd have had way too much underwear and undershirts. So part of me is like, how perfect is it that just for an unknown reason, I decided not to get underwear and not to get undershirts, even though I fully intended on it, earlier that very week, only to get to Hilton Head and have to buy those two things. So it really wasn't even a waste of money, because it was money that I needed to spend anyway. And because I didn't do it for an unknown reason earlier last week, I was able to do it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm thinking too much of it. But then here's what this moment happens where. So what I did is I just rewore the pants I had on, bought a pack of underwear, a pack of undershirts, and a button-up shirt. And so I'd gotten everything except the undershirts, right? And so if you've ever been into the white t-shirt section where the underwear, socks, and, you know, undershirts are, it could be chaotic up in a Walmart. And so sure enough, I mean, even in Hilton Head, I mean, know, unbelievable.
It's the best place to people watch.
And so by this time, I'm getting tired. I'm getting kind of frustrated. And I'm like, I just want to be in bed going to sleep. And like, I'm still telling myself, like, Marty, I know you don't feel good, but like, this is God's grace. I'm trying to tell myself that. Like, you don't feel good, but like, this is a blessing, right? Because it allows you to make it through a night that tends to be hard. And so I'm like, yeah, but I need a freaking undershirt. And there's not any. So like, none of the sizes that I wear, no size that I wear is here at all, except for like assorted colors. And I didn't really want a pack of assorted undershirt colors because I wouldn't really wear those. I just wanted the plain white ones, which was what I needed anyway. And so I'm like, there's nowhere. And so in the middle of the aisle is a buggy that someone had left abandoned, partially full of random crap. And it was in the worst spot. So at one point, I like scooted it out of my way, but then I walked to the other end of the aisle and it was in my way again. I'm like, this stupid buggy's in my way. Well, I'm standing there for like 10 minutes. I'm looking all around the store and I cannot find a pack of white t-shirts in my size to save my life. And I'm frustrated and I'm starting to think, can I just bare chest this thing? Just put on the button up, let a little chest hair flow and just rock it. Like, it's just one day. It's just one training, you know, and I'm like getting frustrated and I keep this stupid buggy keeps being in my way. And so I'm like, you know what, Marty? Why do you keep getting frustrated with this stupid cart? Just push it to the end of the aisle and it will be out of your way. Because I kept like, I would look on one end and I'd scoot it down, look on the other end. And so I just kept shuffling it. So I was like, Marty, just scoot it out of the way. Like, you're in a freaking Walmart. Just move it. So I take it, I push it to the end of the aisle, out of the way, and I look up. And it's this random section of completely useless things that I would never use. And sticking up in the middle is the exact pack of t-shirts in my size that I needed.
So, let me get this straight.
That's the punchline.
Let me get this straight.
Yes.
This buildup was for a pack of t-shirts?
Yeah.
A pack of t-shirts?
That's right.
So, you're telling me your God wink.
That's, yeah.
Was a pack of t-shirts. That was your size.
I understand how stupid this is now that I'm saying it out loud.
That is your size.
Yeah, I understand that it feels anticlimactic as I say it.
Well, you built it up before the podcast was like, I've held on to this story from Hilton Head for weeks. And by weeks, I mean like
four days.
Yeah. So that I could tell it on the podcast.
Yeah.
And we waited 4 days. For you to find a pack of t-shirts at Walmart?
That's right.
Like,
I can't explain, though. Like, it felt so much more significant than that. Because I'm sick. I don't feel good. I've just left everything at home. And I'm standing there for no less than 10 minutes looking at every single undershirt company, every type they have. And I'm down to, like, do I want an assorted three-pack of gray, black, and maroon undershirts in my size? And I can't find anything. And there's really no reason for me to move this stupid cart because I knew there was nothing there. I was just annoyed by it. So my sheer annoyance causes me to move it. And I look up in a section that had I not got frustrated with that cart and had I not moved it, I would have never looked up. And just sticking up is the only pack in the whole store, to my knowledge, of undershirts in my size.
Did they have your name on them?
No.
That would have been wild.
That would have been strange. And all of a sudden, in a glowing force, I hear, "Fear not."
Okay. Okay.
It just felt like in that, because here's the thing. I just told you, I hate going away alone. I hate it. Like, I like it. Like, it's fun. Like, it's nice to go on trips, see new places. Like, I like traveling.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I like being with people, right? And so, like, in that moment, I've reached out, and I have my pastor praying for me, texted me every couple hours, "Hey, man, thinking about you. Hope you're doing well," right? And I've intentionally tried to have this mindset of, you know, God, see me through, right? It's like, it's just a hard night. And so I have this, you know, a situation where, you know, he's praying for me, and I'm trying to see this cold as grace. And then this happens, and in that moment, like, it was just, I know it's stupid, but it reminds me of that verse where it says, "Do I not take care of the birds of the field? How much more do I love and care for my children?" And through this completely random set of events that really shouldn't have happened, I find this package, and it just felt like this moment of God saying, "I'll take care of you. It's gonna be okay." And I get the story sounds really stupid, but it felt really real at the same time.
All right, so let me ask you a question.
And then I went and bought nose spray.
Yeah. They had tons of that.
So I'm sitting over there going.
Yeah. They had tons of that.
Yeah.
All right, so here's my thoughts about your miraculous story. I mean, pure miracle. Honestly. But because no, I think there's
pure miracle.
I mean,
I see you're not as moved as I am.
Yeah, well, okay, so here's my thoughts. My honest thoughts is I'm in no way, shape, or form moved by your story, but like, because in my mind, the first thing that popped up was I don't know. I guess this is just my mind. It's like, Marty with these first world problems, right? Like, this man is worried about undershirts on top of the clothes that he has.
Man, that does sound first world, don't it?
But, okay.
God, but, you met me in the t-shirt aisle.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
But I think my question is, because this is actually something I've been thinking about.
Just struggling on Hilton Head Island.
Exactly. I'm on Hilton Head Island and I'm thinking, anyway.
Life was hard. I only had one outfit for that day.
This is I think we've talked about this before, but not on the podcast.
You're robbing this thing.
No.
Now I just feel like a spoiled
no,
brat.
No, because this is I'm gonna mention something.
Okay.
Your t-shirt encounter.
Yeah.
Your t-shirt miracle, we'll do that, was very important because of the state that you were in.
Yeah.
You're in a, physically, you were not well. And then emotionally, it was like, you don't like to travel by yourself, which is probably most people. You know, I can't get that way, to where it's just like, And then God showed up in the need. Inside looking out, God moved. Outside looking in, Marty has t-shirts. So it's like... But I think that's something that we don't get. And I think it's something that we don't understand. I think it's something that we don't need to question, I think. Like, going back to your original statement of the God winks on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
So when you read the God winks on Facebook, I'm not going to say they're probably a lot like your stories.
Yeah.
But it is similar to your, you know, to the theme of the story, I'm sure.
And I'm not trying to offend anyone that says that, because really, I think it's a Marty issue, not wanting to give credit to how God may have worked in your life.
Well, that's why I was like,
more
I'm
than it is.
Right. Yeah,
don't say that.
Like, I'm not able, and I don't think I'll ever be able to understand the joy and peace that brought
you. Just
that
you
brought.
Just,
to
I
you.
Just hope you
for t-shirts, but.
Listen, I hope you have diarrhea one day and you find a random roll of toilet paper at an opportune time, and you'll understand.
So I think it's more of like, and we'll take this a little bit deeper, I guess. But like, I think about the passage that talks about the two people praying beside each other, one owes more than the other, and they're asking for mercy and forgiveness, and the other one's saying,
"Ooh,
why
I like
am
where
I
you're
not
going
like
with
you?
This." Yeah,
like the need like the two pennies to that.
I just read this.
Okay, so two pennies to that guy or whatever he needed.
And it's like 50 denarii to this guy. And it says, which is more grateful?
Right.
I don't know if that's the exact wording, but it's like, who was more appreciative or grateful? Yes. And it said, to the one that was forgiven the most or something like that.
Yeah,
or the
one
who had the greatest debt relieved, basically.
Right. Yeah. And so you're in a moment where you weren't feeling great. It's not necessarily like debt, but you weren't feeling great. You physically weren't okay. You're emotionally. Mm-hmm. And so a pack of t-shirts meant a lot.
Yes.
Obviously.
But what they symbolized, like I was aware of my depravity in that moment.
Yeah.
Like I was aware that I was like, man, I'm having a hard time. And I wasn't even having a hard time. I never actually had a hard time. It was great. Like it went fine other than feeling like crap.
Yeah.
But it was the anticipatory anxiety.
Yeah.
Made me aware of my limitations.
Right.
And my struggles.
Mm-hmm.
And it symbolized like my grace is sufficient for you in that moment. And I was like, I felt it more. And so, yes, like I was aware of the gap. I was aware of the insufficiency, and I was aware of like God's sufficiency in that moment. And I think that was it. I was aware of the forgiveness. Like I was aware, whereas at other times I'm oblivious to it.
Yeah. Cause you made a statement, I don't think it was on the podcast, but you made a statement where it's like life gets real like mundane. Okay. And it gets very just, what was the word you use? Like
stale.
And so moments like that bring life.
Yeah, yeah.
But you had to be put in a state of need to really see that.
Yeah.
And so I think there's something in the transaction of somebody or something in need and then God providing that, whether it's through somebody else or himself. And so going back to kind of like what we talked about, you know, we've talked about the social gospel. We've hinted on that. You've talked about that. You talked about how that could, like, I think there's something in the fact that there's a need that needs to be met at some level, whether it's physical, emotional, social. And when we meet that need, God is there in some way. And so, like, the spiritual part of me, like, goes there. But and I really am going to hate to say this because I really don't want to give your story any credit.
Yes!
But you kind of, like, turned a light bulb on for me in my professional life.
My professional life. And your professional life.
Like in counseling.
Okay.
Because what you said was like, when you first told me, I was like, this man's over talking about some freaking t-shirts. But I think about counseling where I have, you know, you have somebody come in and it's like terrible trauma. This sucks. You're really, you're moved by that person. And then the next person comes in and it's like not even close.
Mm-hmm.
Like not it.
My mommy's mad at me because I didn't wash the dishes and I don't think it's fair.
Right. But that doesn't mean what they're feeling's not as significant as what the other person's feeling.
That's a really good point.
And so, but I lose track of that because I get lost in the other person's story or emotions to where I'm not compassionate to the other one.
When we have perspective on a person's struggle, sometimes it can help us to empathize with them. Mm-hmm. If we maybe have seen that firsthand too, or it could also cause us to judge them because we rank it up against other people's struggles.
Yeah.
And then they lose the validity of, you know, we don't, of their struggle being real to them, even though in our head we know it doesn't chalk up to the severity of what we perceive against other people.
Right. Yeah. How do you, and so, but I think your story brought some clarity on that for me, just in talking about, because I didn't want to just absolutely just bash your story, because usually I probably just bash it and moved on. But now that I actually have to think about it and talk about it on a podcast, it does bring a little bit of light of, like, you know, if somebody comes in, family trauma, next person comes in, boyfriend, girlfriend broke up with them, I'm like, bro, you just get over it. And I mean, I guess you need that sometimes, but at the same time, like, it makes me aware to be just as compassionate because I don't know what they're feeling in that moment. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You know, a breakup could feel just absolutely just destroying their life.
Yeah.
Just like if I didn't have a pack of t-shirts their size in Walmart.
In the same way, like you can't. Sometimes people can only share superficial stuff.
Mm.
or it may have been a superficial situation, but it triggers a deeper issue. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the issue is not the issue.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's a symptom of the deeper issue, right? So when that person comes in and is like, my mom's mad about this, yada, yada, it just feels stupid, feels insignificant. You're like, you're a kid, like you got chores. It may be more of a, you know what? I don't feel loved. And I feel like my mom takes advantage of me, but never cares about me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so that's just an illustration they're given because they don't have that perspective and that insight. And by like validating how they feel in that, it makes them feel like, okay, like it's okay for me to feel this way. And then maybe leads to deeper conversation that gets to, why are you having such a disproportional reaction to what seems like an appropriate request?
Mm-hmm.
All right? And so it can show, it can, when we dismiss situations because of how we perceive them,
mm-hmm.
we miss an opportunity to connect with people on the deeper level, mm-hmm. which is probably causing their reaction to begin with. And if once we understand that, it actually makes it make a little more sense.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, that was good. That was well put.
The illustration I use a lot before, there's actually another thing that this made me think of. The illustration I use a lot with people is we oftentimes judge a person's reaction based on what we see. And so, like, for example, if you're listening and your arm was broken, right? If somebody walked up and grabbed your arm and it wasn't broken, you might be like, why are you grabbing me? Get off, like, stop. And they might be like, hey, I want you to look at this. And you'd be like, oh, okay, let's look together, right? But if your arm's broken, like if you have a bone that's fractured or broken, it may not be obvious to the outside, right? And so you sitting there, you look whole, right? And to the person that's walking up to you to get your attention, you look whole. They grab your arm, right? They grab a broken arm and you punch them.
Mm-hmm.
They may say, dude, what the frick? I just want you to look over here. What's your problem? And they might punch you back. Right. And then you may say, my arm's broken. And they may still not like the fact that you were punched, but they immediately understand the level of pain they just accidentally triggered. And it makes sense. If your arm's broken and somebody grabs your arm and you punch them,
yeah,
it probably makes sense that you overreact.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Well, the same is true in our life. Like sometimes we have these like superficial or a seemingly low level interactions or circumstances. And we have a hard time realizing, like, we got a broken bone under here that just got touched. And maybe our reaction is disproportionate to what actually happened, but it's not disproportionate once you understand the deeper wound that was just touched.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. So, two questions that
okay
you will answer.
Okay.
One is, how do you as the broken arm person handle it? And the yeah. other one is, how do you as the outsider handle it?
Yeah. All right. Well, two things. One, I think in life, like as a person that's responding, right, who accidentally, I think we also have to be gracious and realize there are times that we get weird reactions from people, right? If we know those people well, then maybe we have the ability to be like, "Whoa, dude, you just got like real crazy. What's up?" Right? Don't immediately have to like attack that person or get defensive and just be like, "Dude, that seemed a little out of pocket. My bad. Like, what's up?"
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know the person, just be like, hey, I'm sorry, I didn't mean anything by it, move on in life. But I think we have to always be, like, so often when we don't get the reaction or we don't get the response we want to respond with the same energy they just gave.
Because
it feels just, it feels valid. Like, you got your lick in, I'm going to get my lick in, right? But it's kind of that idea of turn the other cheek, right? Like, somebody mistreats you, understand it wasn't about you, maybe. What about you?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And if it was about you, then maybe the deeper issue is y'all's relationship.
Yeah.
Right. You need to respect that. But the bigger thing is because we can't predict how people are going to react all the time.
Right.
Like we just have to be gracious, be aware, and try to be even in our response. Christ-like in our response. The more the challenge I would have is for the person that's got the deeper issue. If you have a broken bone, here's the reality. There's a phrase that I think is used in AA and NA a lot. Your addiction is not your fault, but your recovery is your responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is there's a genetic component to addiction mm-hmm. that for many people is predisposed, and that many people that suffer with addiction and deal with addiction, you know, they experiment with substances no different than a lot of people do. unknowingly unlocking this hidden monster that starts to take over their life, right?
Yeah.
That's not their fault in the fact that there's this latent addictive tendency that takes over. But once they know it's there, handling it and addressing it and recovering from it is 100% their responsibility.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I would say the same thing is true. Oftentimes the wounds of our life were not self-imposed, but our response to those wounds are our responsibility.
Right.
And sometimes that doesn't feel fair because it's like, I didn't ask to be raised in this family. Mm-hmm. I didn't ask to be taken out of that home. I didn't ask to be in that accident. I didn't ask for that bad thing to happen. And you're right. It's not fair, but life's not fair and nobody's going to fix it for you. And that's the hard truth is we have to be willing to face the hard things that are true of our life, even if we didn't create it, to repair it. And that's hard. And so, because what happens is oftentimes we have wounds that we attribute to the faults of someone else, so then we feel like someone else needs to fix it. And then that's where you hear things like victim mentality, and it's so cliche.
Mm-hmm.
I hate hearing it, but it's that idea of, I've got a problem, but it's your responsibility to fix it, because it's out of my control.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say if you got a broke bone, metaphorically speaking, if you mm-hmm. got a tender spot or an area of trigger, then you, as you recognize it's there, right? Because you don't know pain until it's present, right? So the first time something happens, you might be just blindsided just like the other person. Like, dude, why did I respond that way? Why did I fly off the handle? Why did I get upset? And so, but once you know it's there, you're responsible for being aware of it. Like, you have a responsibility to realize, These are the buttons in my life that can get pushed. Generally speaking, these are the situations or the emotions that can push those buttons. What am I going to do to first and foremost recognize that they're there, recognize they're being pushed, and learn how to react in a healthy way when it happens, and then over time try to heal so that they're not so sensitive and they're not as reactive and they don't end up causing me to lash out or to respond in an unhealthy way. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I just felt like I was watching a TED Talk for a second.
A TED Talk? Well, okay, so let me shift to one other challenge, and then we'll probably be out of time for today.
Okay.
Because this is the other thought I had. In the same way that it's impossible for you to know or for you to accurately grasp how something that seems so small and silly meant so much to me, we can't underestimate how much some of our most smallest, most meaningless actions and behaviors may actually change another person's life.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like for me, it was just this random pack of t-shirts placed in a really bad place.
Yeah.
And I just randomly found them.
Right.
But maybe you're the pack of t-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
And that sounds kind of silly. But like, how often do we underestimate or dismiss the meaningless interactions that we have with people that yeah. might be like, are you their t-shirt today? Like, are you yeah. going to make a difference in their life today? Are you like, is God trying to use you to be a God wink in somebody else's life?
Somebody, yeah. And it could be simple.
It's so simple. Like, I was watching this video last night and it was this woman who she was talking about how she's, I didn't go back and read the whole history, but apparently she had some medical issues or something, and she had gained some weight, and she was really self-conscious, and she'd been going to the gym trying to address the issues and combat the physical health, all these issues. She'd been going for a few years, and it was really defeating because she hadn't been able to lose the weight she wanted to. She still felt like, you know, had some self-esteem, kind of body image issues, and even to the point that she said that there's some people at the gym that had made kind of snarky comments to her that were really inappropriate, and it was just, you know, hurtful, right? So every day she faced her fear, she'd go to the gym and she'd try to address it, but it was hard. Like, it was a sensitive area. And she said there was this dude in there. She goes, she had seen him in there because they all work out at the same time. And she's like, this dude's like jacked, right? Like, he's the guy that, like, he's covered in tattoos, he's big, and just looks like, dude, you're a BA. Like, you're hardcore. She goes, never talk to the guy. I just know him from him being in there. She goes, I'm leaving the gym the other day feeling really defeated, really self-conscious. And out of nowhere, he goes, hey. Like, they're walking out together. He goes, hey. And she's like, oh, great. Here we go again. What's this specimen of a man, you know, going to say? And he goes, something along the lines of, like, I know we've never talked, but, like, I see you in here all the time putting in the work. He said, I'm really proud of you. Keep working. And he just walked off. And, like, she just starts crying, and she goes, that man has no clue what I'm struggling with. But, like, that comment went just so deep.
Yeah.
Like, it was so powerful. And she's like, and he had no clue. And I'm be honest with you, I'm not saying that you need to walk up to every girl or guy in the gym and be like, just want you to know I'm proud of you.
Yeah, you put in the work.
Probably not appropriate.
Right.
Right? Don't know this man's intentions.
Yeah.
But it does point to, sometimes I think we are prompted to do something that we feel like is stupid, but maybe so incredibly significant for the other person that we'll never know.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I know we got to go, but I think it touches on this theme that we've talked about on the podcast and off the podcast. And it's this theme of, you know, what do I do with my life? What does it look like biblically? What does it look like as a Christian? What is God? What is the kingdom of God? All this stuff. Like, I always come back to,
like, how does God want us to live here and now?
Right. Like, what's our mindset? And I always, what you just touched on is like, a lot of times we live in the mindset of love God with all your heart, mind, and strength.
Yeah.
Let's study theology. Let's study doctrine. Let's study this. Let's do this. Let's go to church. Let's do this. But then in the same vein as love your neighbor as yourself. And I think love your neighbor as yourself gets lost.
Yeah.
As a secondary. As long as I love God first, loving your neighbor as yourself is just, you know, it's a cherry on top.
Yeah.
But the importance of that is almost just as important as loving God, if not equally important. And, like, when you do things like that, when you compliment people in the right way, obviously, like you said, when you encourage people, when you meet a need, when you do this, like, that's when, for me, when I feel like the mundane part of life kind of goes away, the stale part of life goes away, and that vigor and that excitement kind of comes in.
Yeah. Because that's the thing that stood out to me. When I was struggling and I needed God, I became aware of his presence. I'll be honest with you. I'm pretty sure God shows up in my life the same amount every day. But when I feel cocky and comfortable, I miss it. But he was there. But in my distress, I saw his grace. I think, like you just said, in the same way that God has called me and he uses me to connect with me, he wants that exact same thing for my interactions with humanity, with the people around me. But the exact same struggle is there. Is if I, you know, if, and I've heard people say this before, but if you get up and was like, God, you know, I've heard Sunday school teachers be like, you know, one time I was just like, God needs me to witness to somebody. And he was like, God put somebody in my life to witness. And he goes, later that day, there was this person. And I'm thinking, you know, I said, those people were in your life the whole time. God didn't put them in your life. You just started looking for them.
Right. You just became aware. Right.
You just became aware. And I feel like that's the same thing. Like, when I sit up and be like, God, like, show me someone that needs to feel love today.
Right.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I crossed the path of anyone I wouldn't have. But because I'm looking for an opportunity to show God's love and not to just be selfish, I spot it.
Your awareness
shifted. I spot it.
Yep.
And what it looks like is me not saying something I shouldn't and going out of my way to say something I should or to do something that I should.
Yeah.
And so what's crazy is I was thinking about all this driving to Hilton Head before any of this crap happened. I was thinking about this. Passed a man hitchhiking on the highway and almost stopped and picked him up. Thinking, man, God, this is an opportunity. Like, I could show. And then I was like, I don't know if that's a great idea.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of stories out there.
There's some stories. And to be honest with you, I probably would have, truthfully. I hope my wife doesn't hear this. I probably would have if I'd have seen it, if I'd have seen him up ahead. But he was there and he was gone. Like, I came around the corner, dude standing there trying to hitchhike. And so, like, I'm past him, and it's like a couple miles to the next exit. Yeah. So, like, there was no practical way for me to, like, make it happen. But, like, seriously, I was like, opportunity.
Yeah.
But that was probably glad that one didn't happen.
Yeah, I mean.
So, anyway. All right, man. We're about out of time. I really dominated. I apologize. I said a lot today.
No. I mean, it was good. I mean, your story was, I mean, life-changing, honestly.
It's a T-shirt miracle.
It was life-changing.
Well, I hope one day I can be a T-shirt for you.
Thank you, man. You've been a t-shirt in my life. I appreciate that.
Hey, man.
I'll wear you any day.
All right, y'all. Behave yourselves. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining us on another episode of TNJ. Don't forget to check out the links to any of our guests in the show description.
And check out tattoosandjesus.org for additional show information or to submit your questions, comments, or curse words.